We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL SundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by NFL Sunday Ticket, Deal Dash, and by betonline.ag, of course. We are very excited. Rohan Kadi, my steadfast, I guess that's a fine adjective. I think my adjective last time was a lot more glowing. Maybe I'll have to go more glowing
next
episode.
Steadfast works, though.
Steadfast does work. Steadfast is very, very fitting, I think. My steadfast co-host and I, Rohan Kadi, are here. We are very excited, even more so than usual, because we are joined by a very special guest, Jabari Davis, host of the Dunks and Discourse podcast, a terrific show also on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. It's great if you love NBA talk. It's also great if you love movie talk. I love that you guys put that in there so much. I think it adds a lot and makes it such a fun listen, especially when I'm a little NBA'd out. So Jabari, how's it going?
Not bad. I appreciate you guys having me today.
Oh, absolutely. We very much appreciate you coming on the show. And obviously, outside of the eighth seed out west at this point, as we record on Saturday, and this will drop the same day, you know, we're looking ahead to the playoffs, right? It's hard not to. I want to get to your Los Angeles Lakers later in the show. But first, Rohan and I love to get the outsider, I suppose, perspective on the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Bucks, not exactly an inspiring bubble, but I think that was true for a lot of the very good teams in the league. But I just want to know, to start off here, what are your general thoughts on the Bucks? How do you look at this team?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head, you know, right there, where it wasn't an inspiring bubble, but you know, if anybody expected a team that had that much of an advantage and no real true reason to push it, you know, for those eight seeding games, you know, I don't know, you know, I got something for you. You look, the Bucks. Look, within the last, 9 days, they dropped games to the Rockets, Nets, Mavericks, and Raptors, and nobody skipped a beat. Because ultimately, all it's going to come down to is, what is the matchup going to look like? And honestly, how many games are the Bucks going to win it in? Because truth be told, I've been spending the past week and a half trying to convince myself that someone other than the Bucks is coming out of the East, and I just can't. Now that we're settled, now that everybody's in, I still have the Bucks coming out.
A question that we've really been struggling with, getting to what you were saying about, it's tough because, you know, what really matters is the playoffs. But this is just such a unique situation in that you need these games to really get back into basketball shape, really. So it's like we've been struggling with the question here on the Eurostep about whether these games, does it matter in the sense that they don't really seem ready for the postseason yet? Like, they don't really show that they're caring a lot versus, you know, just like a normal ramp down of the season before the playoffs. Because let's say there was no normal hiatus, this would be just general routine, right? So you're a really good team and you're just, as the postseason comes, you don't play your starters heavy minutes. Who cares if you lose? But this is different. You need to get back into your basketball rhythms after over 4.5 months away. So I know, like, you've been struggling with this question a little bit about the Lakers. So how do you feel about that in the sort of the Bucks perspective?
You know, it may be that I'm being overly, you know, optimistic about it, or, you know, myopic about it, but I truly think that those teams were just pacing themselves. I think it's exactly what you said. They were getting themselves into basketball shape rather than focusing on winning. You had coaches that were, you know, putting lineups out there that were like, oh, well, what do we have there? What would this, you know, combination look like? And obviously, on the other side of things, you had other coaches that were very much pushing it. You had teams that were very much pushing it specifically because they had to worry about seeding and they had to worry about simply getting in. But, you know, and I could ultimately be wrong. And obviously, we're going to find out here within the next week or two. But I genuinely believe that, you know, teams like the Lakers, teams like the Bucks, obviously, and even the Clippers, I don't necessarily think that they were pushing it as hard as they will be, you know, come in a couple of days.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, what I don't want to do, right, is be a guy who hosts a Bucks podcast who's like, the fact that they looked bad at points doesn't matter. Who cares? They're so good. Like, I don't want to just completely, like, hand wave and ignore all of it. But here's why I'm optimistic. The Bucks were still really good when Giannis played, and they still won, like, their minutes. Like, if you just look at the on-off net ratings, like, Chris's minutes, they won. George Hill's minutes, they won. Even Dante DiVincenzo, who played like a pumpkin, and not like the fun fairy tale Disney kind of pumpkin, just like a plain old pumpkin, not even around Halloween. It's just like, just a pumpkin. Like, you're not excited to see it, pumpkin. They still won his minutes, right? Like, they got smoked in Sterling Brown's minutes and Robin Lopez's minutes because he was out there with a lot of bench guys. But all the guys who didn't play in their real rotation, when those guys played, they got killed. But they're like plus 8.6 per 100 possessions in Giannis's minutes. So that tells me, you know, they weren't destroying worlds like normal. They were still getting back into a rhythm. But it's not like they were out there getting smoked with their best guys on. Like, if you look at the lineups, and I think they're like plus 14 in Wes Matthews' minutes because Wes really only played with starters. So, like, I think the Bucks starters were still killing it, even if they didn't look as good as they did all regular season. And I think the intensity and everything will be certainly ramped up. I do think Milwaukee very much wanted to play, like, a full rotation tune-up game this last week. And because of Giannis's, first his oral surgery, so to speak, and then his suspension, did not get to. I don't know if it'll matter. I think having Orlando first really helps with it not mattering. We'll get to the Magic in a little bit. But I don't know. I just, it's something to watch for me, but I'm not all that concerned, if that makes sense.
Well, the only thing I can say to that is I feel more comfortable in the Bucks making it than I do with the Lakers. And that's putting aside all of my Hollywood Homer glasses and like 100%. As long as Giannis as well as the, you know, supporting cast are relatively healthy in it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, it at least appears as though guys are ready to go, I think they'll be fine. You know, when you look at the Lakers from your perspective, I know that we're going to go to them later on, so I won't, you know, spend an extended period of time here. But when you look at them, there is a legitimate concern when you look at the age of, you know, some of their, you know, core players, obviously being LeBron James being, you know, the main guy, as well as the fact that, you know, there are at least questions about the growing heading in. So, yeah, look, when it comes to the Bucks, you know, look, just blame me if all of this is wrong. take your anger and your aggression out on me on here on the Eurostep. By the way, I don't just blow smoke, and Ty, you know this. Eurostep is one of the best podcast names ever. I'm not joking with you. Like, the Eurostep is one of them. But yeah, like, if I'm ultimately wrong, you'll take your anger out on me. But I genuinely believe that you don't have anything to worry about, especially against the Magic.
Ty, do we know just? Do we know how Wes Matthews is doing? I don't know if we've heard any.
So I'm glad you pointed there. So Wes slipped on the game that was played on an allegedly like wet dripping from the roof floor?
Not allegedly, it was wet.
It was wet. We don't know where the water was coming from. This is like Slipgate that nobody seems to care about except us. Wes missed all, but he went out in like 2 minutes into that game, hadn't played since. Although, we did hear from Bud, I think after the Grizzlies game, that they're expecting all 16 guys to be good to go for game one of the playoffs. So it sounds like they were just being very cautious, and I think he did slip. I think it was at least, there's at least a good chance it was because there was some sort of moisture on the floor, but it sounds like they were just being extra cautious and making sure, because that what we heard directly after that game was all 16 guys are expected to be ready to play with pretty much fully without limitations. So maybe he plays a little less minutes in game one, but it does sound like, yes, all six, which is the 15 regular roster guys and Frank Mason, are all expected to be healthy. So it does seem like at least the Bucks do have that going for them. They should have everyone available right off the bat, which obviously is tremendous news. And that is something Bud kind of emphasized after that last game. They were saying, like, basically asking him how he thought it went, because obviously it didn't go that well. And he said, you know, it sucks that we lost. And I'm clearly paraphrasing a lot. Bud does not talk like me. Not even close. It'd be kind of fun if he did. But he basically said, you know, we would have liked to play better, but our number one goal was being healthy, and we are there. So fingers crossed that everyone is fully set to go for this game one on Tuesday at 12:30 Central, I think.
I thought it was 1:30.
I think it's 1:30 Eastern.
Wrong. Oh, really? Did I really get caught by that?
Yeah, I think you did. I think they tweeted them all in Eastern.
Happens to the
I'll pull it up right now, but I'm pretty sure it is Eastern. So yeah, it does sound, Rohan, like everyone is good to go, which is a good sign. One thing I wanted to ask you about quickly here, Jabari. A lot of people have said Chris Middleton might be one of the biggest X factors in the playoffs, right? Like, if Chris Middleton is this 25-point-per-game elite scorer at all levels guy he's been for most of the regular season, all of a sudden the Bucks become very, very, very hard to stop, especially if they utilize that Chris Giannis pick and roll a lot. If he is, you know, if he was playing a little bit above his station during the regular season and he's not that clear-cut number two, things become a little bit murkier for Milwaukee. Where are you at on Chris Middleton?
I'm a lot higher on Chris Middleton than I was in the past. Like, I'm going to openly admit, I was that guy a couple years ago that didn't know anything about him, that was saying dumb stuff like, oh yeah, come on. Like, who is this guy that everybody, the guy with the weirdly spelled Chris. Come on. I was 100% that guy. Well, not completely, but you know what I mean. I was not taking him as seriously as his game actually warrants. If Chris Middleton is playing anywhere near the level that he played during the regular season and you're getting the contributions that you got, from the rest of that incredible supporting cast, I think you're going to be okay. So when it comes to Chris, I think I expect to see it. Like, I'm not expecting to see a drop off. I would really like to see him have his, let's say, the moment that a lot of those Raptors had last year, where the narrative on them, was negative simply because they hadn't done it. But then once they did it, it was almost like an expectation. Like, oh, of course they can do it. I really do hope, and this isn't me hoping that necessarily that the Bucks win the title, but if they were to, I do hope that we see that type of ascension from Chris.
We do have to, I guess we should mention, we didn't talk about this because we haven't bought it since then. Chris did miss out on his 50-40-90 season.
Oh, yeah.
By, what was it, 49.7%, I think he ended on?
Nah, that counts.
Was it 49.7 or 49.97? I thought he was like that close, but I'm not.
Oh, it might have been 0.97.
I don't know. It was very close.
Here's really a quickly.
Quick nerd thing. Why don't we do 2.3-point free throw for that these days? Like, I just want to make it clear. I'm not doing this out of favoritism for Chris. I was doing this out of favoritism for Malcolm Brogdon last year when I wrote a piece about the same thing, because really all it does, if the guy is 50% from two, 40% from three, but not 50% from the field, 40% from three, all you're doing is punishing him for taking more threes, right? Like, that's where the league is going. It wasn't really a big deal back then because guys took so little when it first became a thing. We should probably look at it that way. If you look at it that way, Chris clearly has it, but I digress. I don't know. I don't get as fired up about that kind of stuff probably as I should. I mean, it would have been like historic if he got it. He would have been one of the few guys to do it on such high volume, but I mean, it was an elite, efficient scoring season anyway, so Man, I don't know. I'm okay.
I'm sorry. If you are 0.97, you're there, man.
Right.
I get it. But come on, just give that man that credit.
I think he missed out by like, what, 4 or 5 baskets? He did end at 49.7%.
Okay. So, well, he was going in. He had a pretty bad shooting game his last game of the year. He was going in. I think if he was like 2 for 2 and he pulled out, he would have had it. But of course, knowing Chris, like, he didn't just take layups, like, he was actually pulling up shots, and they were not dropping against Memphis. But yeah, I don't know. It was very, very close. It's not, I hope nobody is looking at his season differently because he ended up 0.3 off, but who can say? You know, let's talk about Orlando for a little bit. I don't think this will take long. I don't think, we'll see, maybe Rohan is secretly like a blazing Magic fan. I don't know. I don't like blazing with passion about the Magic. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe someone who's that fired up about the Magic, as you can tell. I don't think any of us think they have
insane?
A real shot.
Orlando resonate. That's about it.
Or it's insane works. But let's throw it to the guest first. Let's be good hosts here. You know, Jabari, when you're looking at just Orlando in general in this series, I mean, I don't. I'm guessing you don't think they have a real shot to beat the Bucks, and maybe not even take a game. But what are you seeing when you're looking at this Magic team?
Okay, in full disclosure, when you sent me the notes, right, and you said we're going to talk about Orlando, my first thought was why? no disrespect. I actually mean why? Because I was like, wait, oh yeah, they're in. So again, you know, I guess I intend no disrespect, but there will be Magic fans that are offended by that. Look, I don't expect them to win a game. If I'm not mistaken, Milwaukee swept them in the regular season, and that's including a game that Giannis didn't even play. They almost won that game by double digits. I don't necessarily see anything changing, moving forward. Maybe Aaron Gordon has the game of his life. Vucci Man, regardless of whether he likes being called that or not, he has a game of his life, and they can steal one. But truth be told, this is going to be a sweep. And I'm usually the person that's like, hey, you know what? Anything can happen in the playoffs. Anything, because of course anything can. This is going to be a sweep.
So Ty, you want to go into all of the injuries that are?
Yeah, sure. So this is really the bummer. I wish the Magic were fully healthy. I think maybe they could steal a game. This is one thing I brought up on a locker room session the last couple days. I wonder if we're going to see more sweeps, especially in the first round, because how many times is like the gentleman sweep, the bad team wins one of their home games, like they're just really fired up behind the home crowd? We're not going to get that. So I do wonder if we see more sweeps. I guess we'll see. I could be completely off on that. But Michael Carter-Williams strained a tendon in his left foot. He has not played since, and at the last shootout, I believe, this is from an Athletic article about the Magic, he had to cut a shooting workout short, and at times was wearing a walking boot on his left foot, so MCW might not get a chance to have a revenge game. Aaron Gordon strained his hamstring after getting flagranted by Kyle Lowry, and he, I don't think, has played since, but he expects to be ready. Fournier missed the final 3 seeding games with a non-COVID illness. Terrence Ross had to leave the campus temporarily to undergo non-COVID medical tests, which, whatever they were, I guess came back negative. He has not played since leaving the bubble. Fournier and Ross are expected to play, but they haven't played in a while, so they're going to come in a little bit rusty. And, of course, the really sad one, Jonathan Isaac, tore his ACL. I don't have it up.
And meniscus, I think.
Oh, yeah, goodness. So it was really bad. He's out for the bubble. So they got some guys banged up. They're without a couple of key players. It's going to be rough, man. Like, even at full health, I think taking one game would be optimistic. I think the way Orlando plays is very hard to beat the Bucks. It's kind of like the Pacers. Like, they don't shoot a lot of threes, especially Orlando with the ball and Fultz's hands so much. The Bucks are going to go wide under every single screen. They're going to drop everything. Brook Lopez is going to be in his comfort zone. We might see him swallow up Vucevic the way Marc Gasol did last year. Oh my goodness, folks, we have breaking news on the podcast.
Oh my God.
New Orleans has dismissed Alvin Gentry. Sources tell Andrew Lopez and me. Well, we're going to have to break this down quickly. From Woj, yeah. From not me. Excuse me. This was Woj's tweet. Alvin Gentry. I did not get this news. So we'll get back to the Magic in 1 second. But while you're here, Jabari, what are your thoughts on Alvin Gentry getting let go by the Pelicans?
Not surprised. It's unfortunate because you look at that roster coming in, and I was optimistic, and I wanted, you know, positive things for them. Obviously, I was a little bit biased with the baby Lakers being on there, but truth be told, I wanted you know, positive things for them. I'm not one of those folks that, you know, was instantly anti Zion simply because he looked different, or simply because the league was pushing it, you know, a bit much. We'll say that. But you look at that, and if you're David Griffin, you probably want to go ahead and press reset. You know, whenever a new GM comes in, they always say, well, he's going to want his own guy in there. And whether that's still, you know, the case or not, you know, looking at the Alvin Gentry situation, while I think he's a fine, you know, a fine guy, I've actually interacted with him, great in the scrum and all of that, I don't necessarily know that he's the guy that's going to take you over the top or take you to the next level. So when it comes to, you know, trying to just figure things out, I think this is kind of a sign of things to come, and I think we're going to see some roster movement as well.
Ty Lue, baby, David Griffin.
You know, that would be awesome, just because I would love for Ty Lue to not coach the Nets or Sixers. Like, from a Bucks perspective, I think, yes, Ty Lue is a very, mm-hmm. very good coach. Mm-hmm. I think, like, the fact that people question, like, is he an X's and O's guys, or like people just say, oh, he's just a player's coach. I mean, come on, man. Like, the guy he coached the pants off Steve Kerr in the finals. Like, he decimated him in 2016. I mean, this is an excellent coach. An excellent, excellent coach. Please reevaluate what factors you're taking into account when judging a coach. I'll just say that. Like, really look at, are you talking about their performance, or are you talking about their appearance when you evaluate a coach? If you say Ty Lue might not be an X's and O's coach, he's a tremendous, tremendous NBA coach. I would love if he went to New Orleans, both for the Pelicans and for the Bucks. Like I said, keep him away from the Sixers and Nets, who are both kind of sleeping giants in a way.
Sixers haven't even fired Brett Brown yet.
No, I mean, come on. Maybe they won't. Who knows? Who knows with Philly? They'll trade every star on the roster, but they won't fire Brett Brown. We're getting so far off track. But I think the Pelicans thing, I think you're right. And typically, like, when a new executive comes in, they want their guy. It did feel like Gentry had a legit shot. Like, I don't think this was like they were just going to wait a year and fire him no matter what. But they were in pole position to snag a playoff spot. And it's not just that they came up short. Like Monty Williams' sons came up short. And nobody is like, we need to fire Monty Williams. It's the opposite reaction. Like, the way they played, even if they had lost one game, the way they played, it inspired so much confidence in the future of their team. The Pelicans were the exact opposite. I mean, they didn't just get beat. They came out flat. They played defense worse than ever. They got blitzed in Zion's minutes, outside of even the weird Zion minutes restriction stuff. It was just awful. Like, their effort was awful. They totally blew this opportunity. And going into the bubble, I would not have thought Alvin Gentry would get fired. But now that we're through the seeding games, I agree with Jabari. I was not surprised one bit. This kind of felt like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought they would give it maybe another year, considering how, you know, young the team is. But I guess if you're going to have to sign Ingram to a big contract this offseason, Zion's already like he's like a win now type player. He's already that good, allegedly. Yeah, the bubble wasn't that inspiring.
No, it wasn't.
Especially on the defensive end.
Was that the heaviest that we've seen him? And I know that I know we get, you know, sensitive about that, and I'm certainly not a fat shamer. Like, I'm a fat guy. I'm not. But I'm also not in the NBA. But my man was just too heavy.
Which is, it's weird because we had seen like photos and stuff like before the bubble. It's like, oh, this guy's shredded now.
His workout photos look cut.
Yeah.
And then he just shows up to the bubble and then he's like, oh, okay, I guess not. Like, angles work well for him, I guess. Like, angles.
Rohan thinks Zion catfished us. I'm dead. Now that we've gotten through the most exciting topic possible, thank goodness that broke. Now, like, that really spiced up the magic portion of this podcast. But all those injuries, the way they play, like I think I was saying right before we got away from it, like, Fultz not really being a shooter and having the ball a lot is going to be really hard. I mean, I've already said, like, the Magic's chances to just shoot a lot and make a lot. I think in theory that's fine. I don't think they have the personnel to do it. I don't think their offense is ever going to get off the ground. And, I mean, even if Aaron Gordon's 100%, nobody's really stopping Giannis. If he's banged up, I don't think they have a shot to contain the Bucks. Yeah, I think it's going to be, like, I think Milwaukee's going to run roughshod. I think it's a really good, like, run-up for the Bucks. It should have been the seeding games, their chance to get, like, run-up, but I think this will provide a nice platform for them to beat the hell out of somebody and gain some confidence and momentum.
Yeah, you're relying on necessarily like Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross, DJ Augustine, Wes Iwundu to just shoot the lights out. And like, if that's your strategy to win, like, sure, go for it. If those guys beat the Bucks, like, you know what? More power to them, because that's never happening.
Here's one for you. Who would you rather play, the Orlando Magic or potentially the Blazers? I'm saying I'm being silly.
Yeah, Magic.
I'm being silly. Like, and I'm being disrespectful toward the Magic once again. Sorry, folks.
I don't know who you're apologizing to.
I don't know how many Magic
fans. Like three or four fans out there. Like, you know, there's family members.
hopefully no brothers of Nikola Vucevic are tuning in here. If you are, subscribe and leave a 5-star review, despite what we've said. I want to get to the Lakers in a second. Just another team, infinitely more exciting. I feel bad. I mean, the Magic, they're bad, but like they try to win. Like they made the playoffs a couple years in a row. Like, good for them. That's what you should be doing. It's kind of a bad luck team. I like the Fultz acquisition. I'm sorry. This is not the year for me to get fired up about caring. I like a Wundu too, but this is just not the year for me.
If
to get
Isaac
fired
gets
up.
Healthy, Mo Bamba gets healthy, like Isaac more than Bamba.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously both should get healthy, but Isaac's a more intriguing prospect. But Fultz as well, if he can figure it out. Like they have a good core. If in a couple years, if they all hit, they can be a good team. Just they're not a good team right now. They're gonna get rolled.
They are. But again, I don't have a good segue. It's hard to segue into a day of the week, but Sundays are coming back in the NFL with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You folks can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. With those, you will never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. With no fans in the buildings, this will be your best chance, your best way to enjoy NFL football. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use that promo code BLUEWIRE for 15% off. That's a nice discount, folks. And speaking of good deals, have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you would never believe. They have more than 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker, no NFL pun intended, is that auction clock resets after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everybody else has just 10 seconds to answer, or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. All you need to do is go to DealDash.com and use offer code Euro, G-Y-R-O, of course, or DealDash.fm/Euro. That's DealDash.fm/Euro. Okay, let's get to the another fun part of the podcast. We had fun part Magic, fun part Magic, fun part. Orlando's catching so many strays, my goodness. Let's talk about the Lakers. I think the Lakers are fascinating. They've been fascinating all along. They were better than I expected. I wasn't one of the, like, they'll finish 10th in the West, LeBron is done people. But I had real questions. I mean, LeBron is getting older. He didn't play as well last year. They had a whole new team they had to integrate. It turns out, like, probably should have seen this coming. It's a LeBron team. It's pretty simple, right? Like, LeBron's got the ball a lot. AD can wreck teams when LeBron doesn't have the ball. It's worked sometimes, not worked well other times. But, like, when they're really trying to win games, it's not a complicated formula. Like, everyone gravitates around LeBron and AD to a lesser extent. Jabari, I want your take, like, both on the year total and then factoring in how they looked in the bubble. How are you feeling about your Lakers this season?
Well, well, interesting. I felt better about them prior to the layoff, I'll tell you that. heading into the year, I was optimistic. I was hopeful. Actually, I'll say hopeful. But like some of the detractors, I was one of those folks that was like, man, LeBron, 35 years old, coming off of a catastrophic injury of that nature. You just never know. And being a 40-plus-year-old person, I was factoring in, man, you know, growings are tricky. You know, things of that nature, you just never know. And then they came out and just did, you know, wreck shop. And, you know, were right on pace or, you know, just behind the pace of the Bucks. So they looked great. And those that last weekend heading into the pandemic, I guess, or you know, the pandemic break, that was the pinnacle. And I thought, okay, you know what? We're right there. We're ready to go. And forgive me, I'm one of those fans that says we. So I mean no offense to the folks out there. But when they came back, I thought, okay, as long as everybody's healthy, they should be good. And then all of a sudden, you know, Alex Caruso, he's got a back and a neck injury, my neck, my back, all of that good stuff.
I never need to hear that in context of Alex Caruso again.
I apologize. I'm not really sorry, but I'm going to be polite and apologize. Alex Caruso's got his situation. LeBron misses a game. They look a little bit, you know, disheveled. But ultimately, I still do think it's going to come down to just like what you said. If LeBron is healthy and he's ready to go, let's give him the ball, get out of the way. That obviously, you know, not fully, not to the point where it was with Cleveland a couple years ago when they made that run. But everything does still center around LeBron. So if he's there and he's ready to go, you know, day one of the playoffs, I feel good. If he's not, if he's still looking, you know, a little bit slowed or a little bit tentative or whatever the case may be, it's going to be an interesting ride.
One thing that concerns me necessarily about the Lakers is, not concerns me in the sense that it'll hinge a lot on Anthony Davis's 3-point shooting, in my opinion, because. You know, as you know, they have to play with a traditional center for a bunch of minutes per game. What is it, around 20 minutes a game they play with either JaVale or Dwight?
Yeah, it's going down, but it's right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So especially when you have a center in there with AD and then you have LeBron, a lot of the times when, you know, JaVale or Dwight are on the floor, you're going to have AD spaced out, right? Mm-hmm. So if he's hitting his threes, then, you know, you shake your hand at your opponent and say, good job. You know what? Like, we can't be beaten necessarily. But if he's not, that's when it starts to get a little interesting, because then you're going to have to maybe go to a lot of Davis at the 5 minutes, which, you know, have been great. But is he willing to necessarily bang with those bodies down low a lot? Is LeBron going to be able to like keep up with that? I mean, obviously his track record to show that he can, but again, like you're saying, he's getting up there. If he's in age, if he can't, what does that mean? So I think a lot of it hinges on Davis's 3-point shooting. And, let me see this right here. He's
33 on the year,
And especially in the bubble, he's been a little iffy.
He started off red hot, I feel like, and then the last couple games where
he kind of trailed off. Like their last, his last 7 games, he's shot 29.2% from three. So that's not really going to cut it.
Yeah, I think my thing with AD is, like, I think he just needs to be consistently great. Even if the threes aren't falling, I think they can still, like, beat just about anybody. But, like, he has to be, like, 30 points and a lot of rebounds a night, especially if they're going more toward him at the center. Like, he can't have, like, sometimes he'll have these games, I feel like, where he just kind of, he's quiet, you know, he doesn't get in rhythm. He ends up with, like, 15 points or something like that. I think he had, like, an 8 or 9 point game in the bubble. And I know they haven't really cared about the bubble. But I think even in the regular season, like, some of these games where they were sort of trying, he'd just kind of fade away in the background a little bit. And that's fine when you're the best guy in the Pelicans and you're going for 45 wins and maybe you make the second round. You can't really do that if you're the second guy on a LeBron team, an older version of LeBron team, trying to win a finals. Like, he needs to, in the playoffs, in the series that matter, he needs to be there every single night. Like, he needs to keep them afloat whenever LeBron is sitting. Like, that's always been something with LeBron teams. So often they just get killed when he sits. I think it's, even if they're, like, good and deep, I just think it's so hard to adjust. Like, you're so used to playing LeBron-centric. He's not there. I think it's really hard to fill that void. They need to at least try. Like, they need to at least tread water. And I'm not really, I don't, like, there's, like, this cute thing, like, oh, the Blazers going to push them? No, they're not. The Blazers, like, Dame has to drop 60 every game because the Blazers cannot defend, like, average teams. They certainly won't defend the Lakers. Nurk is very good. Who knows? But I don't think it'll be a very competitive series if the Blazers get to 8. But I just think, like, AD needs to just be great every night. And I'm thinking of the Clippers series mostly. Like, the second round, they might get pushed to. There's some really good teams out west. But the Clippers, man, I just, like, they have so much they can throw at LeBron. Like, everyone is fixated on the fact that they don't have a great traditional center. They have some options there. But they just have so much they can throw at LeBron. And if their strategy ends up being, like, Kawhi and somebody, Kawhi's going to guard LeBron and somebody's going to help almost the whole series, I just think that's going to end up putting a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis to be truly phenomenal, because we know how great of a defender Kawhi is. I don't know. That series, I really hope both teams get there. I just think it's going to be so phenomenal to watch.
That's such an excellent point about AD. And by the way, Rowan, you know, to your question about whether AD will play at the five, you know, it's funny. The narrative out there, he said it with his, you know, it's come out of his own mouth about they didn't necessarily want to be a five. I think that's more, you know, geared towards like banging and doing that over the course of 82 rather than worrying about it in a 16 or, you know, obviously in a playoff run. If I'm not mistaken, he's up to nearly like 50% of his minutes, you know, with the Lakers have ultimately been played at the center position. So I do think that, you know, especially in the postseason, I think we're going to see even extended minutes like that from him. But, you know, tied to your point, you're right. He has to be consistently great. And it's funny because I'm usually torn between on this because I love the Inside the NBA guys. I love that show. Obviously, I've been watching it, you know, since its inception. But I generally hate it when they start going with the antiquated, you know, he needs to have, you know, this number, this number, this number every
barbecue
game.
Chicken,
yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 28, 35. But let's be real. Anthony Davis needs to play like that. I don't care what the number ultimately is. He needs to be that dominant, especially in a series against the Clippers. You might be able to get away with him just giving you his averages against the Blazers and get away with it. You might be able to do that against another team, but against the Clippers or the Bucks or any team of that level, he's going to have to be consistently great. And to that point even further, it's something that he's actually acknowledged. Like, this isn't something that he was guilty of a lot in the regular season, but there were a few games here and there. And we saw, actually, there were two of those games in the bubble where it's like, hey, look, come on, you got to get it going before the third quarter. You can't just wait. This is not the Pelicans. You're at the big time now. You're no longer in New Orleans. You are on a team that is expected to, you know, to not just make a championship run, but win a championship. So he's saying all the right things now about, you know, I know I need to be there. I know I need to bring it. It's just going to be a matter of, let's see if he does.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be a phenomenal playoffs all around. I think we got a lot of good first round series coming up. Is there anything else that any of you guys want to tackle quickly before we head on out of here? I mean, I don't want to do the Bucks versus Lakers thing yet. I think let's wait until we get to that finals. Yeah, let's wait. Let's see if we can get there. Then we can reconvene and go more deep. So we don't need to do that right now. Is there any other last minute stuff though that Jabari you want to touch on, or are we good to go?
Is there any way that you prefer, is there any way the Grizzlies are a better matchup against the Lakers than the Blazers as we record before the play-in game, first one?
Well, for the Lakers, I think the Grizzlies are a better matchup simply because they're young. You know, they're younger. They haven't been there. And, yeah, I know that that can work in a team's favor for short bursts. You know, like if you just don't know any better, you don't know that you're not supposed to be that good. You can jump out and surprise a team. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen in a seven game series. If Jaren Jackson Jr. were there, I'd be a lot happier about the prospect of that situation, you know, coming to fruition. But truth be told, I just don't see the Grizzlies beating these Blazers twice. In order to get there, because if I'm not mistaken, the Blazers ended up getting the eighth, right?
They did. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't see it happening. I could be wrong, and you know what, Grizzlies fans, let me know on the timeline if I am. But I still think, and this is actually a testament to the coaching staff, there's a testament to Ja, there's a testament to those players. They're not just a year ahead; they're 2 years ahead of where I expected them. So, you know, I give them credit for their run, and if they ultimately make it in, you know, hats off to them. But I think they're going to fall short.
Shout out Taylor Jenkins, former Bud coach.
Darvin Ham might be the next one to do it. He's getting some looks.
They can't take away the ham sandwich from us.
I would prefer to keep him too, but hey, it looks good for the Bucks if they
that's
in
2 years.
All the best
for Darvin Ham. Hopefully he gets a head coaching job.
He deserves it. Darvin Ham's son was actually doing some basketball off stuff with the Herd at one point.
Was he really?
Fact. Yeah, he was.
Oh, good for him.
yeah, the Ham family out here flourishing. But I think that the great question, Rohan. I think I agree with you, Jabbar. I mean, and just like to be simple about it, to be like the talking head guys about it, I think there's some truth to this. Nobody wants to play Dame right now, man. Dame is on fire. Dame is beating teams by himself. The Lakers are going to have a little bit of trouble guarding him. I still think Portland's defense is too leaky, but
it's avoiding terrible. Dame,
it's so bad. Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to some of the Melo narrative. That's all. I don't want to get into this whole can of worms right now. I think we
when he missed that three and Karis was bringing the ball up, I was like, oh no, Melo is about to get slammed.
he really was. But we are right up against time here. So Rohan, I'm gonna hand the ball off to you. Take us home, man.
Okay. Well, first, Jabbar, you wanna do some plugs?
Oh man, again, I really do appreciate you guys having me. I don't blow smoke. It's a lot of fun. Anytime, ask, let me know. I'm down to join. As they mentioned, I'm on the Blue Wire Pods Network as well. Dunks and Discourse. My guy Josh is great. We have a great time each week. We actually do two episodes a week where we're speaking, talking about basketball. We do get into some social commentary here and there if something big enough is in the news. But in particular, we also will talk about entertainment world and TV shows, movies, things of that nature. So anybody that wants to check that out, if you weren't too offended by me on this appearance, Jabbari Davis NBA, and then you can find the podcast pretty much anywhere.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on, and to all of the listeners, we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you tell your family and friends about the show as well, and make sure to check out all of the content being put out across the Blue Wire Network. Once again, make sure to check out Jabbari on Twitter at JabbariDavisNBA. And again, listen to the Dunks and Discourse podcast. It's great. It's phenomenal. Just you'll enjoy it. I guarantee it. Ty and I will be back with you all after Game 1 against the Magic. I guess we can touch on that. We are going to try and record a pod after every playoff game. Right, Ty?
Yeah, that is the goal. We are going to break down all of them, at least in some detail. I mean, yeah, we're excited, though. We're excited for another, hopefully, deep playoff run, and we'll be here with you listeners every step of the way.
Yeah, so we will touch base with you all after Game 1 against the Magic. But before I let you go, I want to talk to you guys about BetOnline. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all of the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they have to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.